Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 17, Leap. The scent path led deep into the hills of Northwood, climbing slowly until the pines pierced the clouds to the root, and the bears drifted through forest fog so thick that the yearling and the cub often found themselves following nothing but the sound of their mother's feet, her body lost in the dampening mist. She was limping. She never mentioned it, but the fog somehow exaggerated her uneven tread. The gap between alternate steps grew longer until it became a heartbeat in the mist, throbbing somewhere there ahead of them. One of the creatures at the cave had injured her in the fight, burying its tusk into the flesh of her shoulder. It had been a useless effort. She hadn't slowed for an instant. Squeals reverberated around the cave walls as Leap pulled his brother in close, insisting the cub count his own heartbeat rather than give any attention to the noises coming from outside. It was all over within 300 of those heartbeats. She killed them all. All except the wolf. He left before she'd begun, somehow knowing what was about to happen. Wolves were like that. They could sense things. They knew when it was time to give up. Their mother set out soon after, tracking his scent into the deep forest and leaving her children huddled inside the cave, guarded by the bodies of those who had fallen beneath her claw. Neither of the young bears wanted to go outside. Neither of them had asked her to take them with her. They stayed there in the darkness the entire day, waiting for her to return. Leap went outside only once, telling Snowborn he had to make water. He'd made the cub scratch at his own favourite spot on the wall, telling him to search the smells for Hywood, while he dragged the body of Greymane from the cave, leaving the badger with the others, and trying not to look too closely at the damage his mother had wrought upon their bulky forms. Tusks were broken, necks like Greymane's, torn away. One was missing a leg. Leap found it above the cave mouth, hanging from a gorse bush. He left it there. He could have carried it down and returned it to its owner. That would have been the right thing to do. But the skin was caught on the thorns, and Snowborn was waiting. Besides, Leap already had the taste of badger in his mouth. He didn't want to add the flavour of pig. Not just yet. His mother returned to the cave after nightfall, appearing at the entrance bathed in starlight. Leap hadn't slept. Snowborn was only snoozing, tucked in close to his brother for warmth. The mother bear slumped in her favourite spot and signed nothing, sharing no pictures with her cubs. Leap could smell the dried blood on her fur, sweet and dark. It smelled like the bodies outside the cave. One thing it did not smell like was wolf. She lay there, not moving, eyes glazed like frost.
"Mama,"
signed Snowborn, raising his head and bleating gently for her. There was no reply. A heartbeat later, and she turned her face to the wall.
"It's dark,"
signed Leap. "She probably didn't see you sign."
"I can see you."
"She's tired.
Let her rest."
The little bear uncurled himself from his brother's embrace, and crawled onto his mother's back. He stayed there, head between his paws, rising and falling in time with her breath. Leap missed his warmth. He waited until the both of them were asleep, then dragged his way over to her side, pressing himself against the warmth of her back, nose buried in her hair. It was difficult to smell her over the stains on her fur. He pressed in closer, past the splattering of the outer layers, until his snout was deep in the underfur, his nose against her skin. That's where he found her. That was where his mother was. In the morning, she stood in the spring sunlight and gave them simple sign words. They were going to Blackwood. They would take it back from this white fur who had sent them the poison Bloodwood branch. They would raise their army and march down to Highwood to kill the usurping stag and return the kingdom to the bears, as it was before, as it should be again. Leap would be king. The line of the Highwood bears, unbroken since the time the gods were walking, would return now, always. But first, she signed, turning to the pigs and the crumpled corpse of Greymane beyond the cave mouth. First, we must eat. They had filled their bellies, straining their stomachs for the first time in moons, gorging themselves under the watchful eye of their mother, who wouldn't let them pause for breath, wouldn't let them slow for a moment to think on what it was they were eating. The next day was the same. And the next. "We need to build our strength," she told them. "We have a long walk ahead of us." After 3 days, the smell of the pigs began to change. The scent lost its softness. Something bitter brewed in the mass of bones and skin. "You have had enough," she told them. "It is time to go." They left the cave, that hovel in the north where Snowborn had entered this world, and set off further north, further into the thickening forest. The pines grew closer together, the canopy above them closing in until the forest floor lay dark as evening at midday. They followed a scent path their mother said would lead them to Blackwood without passing close to any of the Bloodwood's more populated areas. Even so, they still came across the occasional marked tree where some wayward bloodroot, unguided by any rootsmith, had wormed its way unchecked beyond the forest's formal border. Snowborn was curious. The only blood fruit he had ever seen was the poison branch brought by Greymane to trick them. "This is the scent path he took," their mother told them, nose to the earth. The path was old, its line hidden deep in the soil, pounded into the dirt by a 1,000 footfall over decades, maybe even hundreds of years. It hadn't been used for some time, but the navigation scent was still there if you knew what to look for. Still present, three or four paws below the surface. Greymane's scent was far easier to spot. Leap found it lingering on the topsoil along the way. The sticky sweetness of the bloodwood branch the pigs had carried could also be found on unfurled ferns and deadwood beside the path. The further they went from the cave, the older that scent became, and the further the memory of that final journey faded from the landscape. Some remnant of it would remain, of course, joining the time-worn scent markings that made the scent path what it was, but Leap was glad to see the vibrancy of the smell weaken and dissolve. He didn't like the way it set his stomach rumbling. Hunger had been blissfully absent the first few days on the scent path. The yearling had almost forgotten what it was like to live without the constant pangs pulling at his insides. Instead, those first 2 days from the cave, he had felt positively bloated, the bodies of their visitors heavy within him, making him slow and lethargic as he struggled to keep up with his mother. Snowborn waddled along at the back of the line, his little legs taking 2 or 3 steps to every one their mother took. "I think we should slow down," Leap had told her when they stopped to take water at a pebble-lined stream. His belly was giving him cramps. "We keep going."
I know, he sighed, but it's Snowborn. He's tired. He's never gone this far before. He's never gone anywhere before.
The little cub was sat on his rump by the stream, staring into the water. His chest was heaving with effort, still trying to catch his breath. The mother bear snorted. The cub looked up, eyes still dazed by the sparkling stream. How are your legs? She asked. Are you strong?
The cub shook himself and stood up.
I'm strong, Mama,
he signed, standing stiff and determined. The mother bear looked back to her eldest son.
Don't blame your weakness on others, she signed, turning back to the scent path.
Snowborn left the stream and tottered along behind her. In the confines of the cave, the cupboard always seemed too big for the space around him. It bounced off those walls like sunlight. Now his spring was smaller, suppressed, worn down like river rock. But there was still something lively to him, still some energy in his step. Leap heaved himself from the stream and followed in his own time. His feet hurt. His legs, his shoulders, his rump all sore from day after day of walking. A day or so after the stream and the stretch of his belly began to lessen. The old emptiness began to return, and the smells of the forest began to grow more attractive. His nose wanted to rummage in the undergrowth. His claws wanted to scratch at the earth. He wanted to feel the fibrous threads of root in his mouth again. The scent of new grass begged him to stop and graze. They spent the night in a low dell, curled together for warmth. Frost rimed Leap's ear when they woke. The place stunk of rats, but their mother had insisted there was no danger. No one listens to rats, she had told them. From the dell, the scent path began to rise steeply. Trees loomed like huge waves before them, the ground ahead blotting out the morning sun like cold mountain.
I'm tired,
Snowborn signed that morning, shortly after their mother had set the pace. The little bear swayed on his legs, ashamed of his weakness. Their mother was already 50 heartbeats ahead, puffing as she limped up the slope. Ride on me, signed Leap, lowering himself to the floor. Leap clambered on, and the yearling raised himself up, balancing the cub on his back. He had done this before, back at the cave. In play. This wasn't a game now. He didn't want to haul his brother up this hulk of a hill, but he knew why the cub had asked him, and not their mother. She was tired too. Really tired. The wound on her shoulder was not healing quick enough to keep up with their progress. She was finding it harder every day. Snowborn knew it as much as he did. The little bear had seen their mother's limp and understood that a carry from her was out of the question. It was nice that his brother trusted him enough to ask. Nice that he believed Leap's strength equal, close enough to their mother's, but if anything, that made Leap feel worse. He didn't want Snowborn to worry about their mother like that. He didn't want the cub to know that parents were not gods. Leap remembered when he first came to know that. When they told him what had happened to his father. It had set everything a kilter, as if gravity itself had suddenly changed its angle in the world. It was a knowledge that upended mountains. A big brother should protect a younger one from knowledge like that for as long as possible, but if he couldn't do that, if the illusion had already been broken, then the least he could do was to carry him. The slope continued for the first half of morning. Leap caught up with his mother while the pines above them were still in the shadow of the hill, letting her know he was there with a simple, reassuring hum. She didn't turn around and check. She just returned a similar sounding huff and continued on. That was okay. He didn't want her to turn around and see him hauling his little brother on his back, a clear sign that they knew her strength was waning. And she probably did know anyway.
He was puffing heavily by the time the trees began to thin towards the top of the hill, and, well, she would have noticed that there was only one set of footprints padding behind her. Still, she played along, not turning, not looking to her children as she climbed, her eyes fixed on the path ahead, nose searching for the next line of ancient scent beneath the soil. Today was the first day they had not woken wrapped in fog. Through the trees, Leap began to see flashes of the land beyond. Vast, unending spread of dark green. Northwood was the kingdom's largest bloodwood, 5 or 6 times the size of Highwood. As Leap carried his brother to the peak of the hill, the trunks around them opened up and the vista flooded his senses, drowning him in the possibilities of so vast a distance. His eyes were overwhelmed by an ocean of green, his nose to the infinite scentscape that swept across the treetops. The trees reached to the horizon, vanishing into the morning sky. It seemed impossible that any forest could spread that far, but more impossible was the colossal pine protruding from its heart, stout and thick, and 5 times the height of any other. It was days away, 3 or 4 maybe, across the dense terrain, but its sheer size still dominated the landscape. The cub slipped down from Leap's back.
"What is that?"
he asked. Leap had never seen it before, but how could it be anything else? "The Bloodwood Tree of Northwood," he sighed. "Castle's pine."
"Castle? Like the god?"
"Yes."
"He's so tall. Is the blood oak like that?"
"A bit. The blood oak's wider. It's not as tall, but it stretches out more. It's more flat."
"How did it get so big?"
"You know where the bloodwoods came from. Mama taught you." Snowborn looked puzzled. Leap whined and shook his head in disbelief. "The seeds of Junos? Come on," he sighed. There was no way the little bear had forgotten, but the cub still stared back with mock ignorance. "Okay," sighed Leap, taking the stance of beginning, and letting the rhythm rise inside of him. He knew what his brother wanted. Snowborn clapped his paws together in glee as Leap began to dance, faster and faster as he reached the song's conclusion. "A faithful shout, a stem sprung out, the bear before the god cried out, my head, my heart, my soul is yours, my tooth, my paw, my mighty claws. The trunk grew up, the leaves spread wide, the pulsing blood that flowed inside. The fruit, the life, the mind is yours, the gift of those who came before." Leap swept into the final pose, the tiredness dissipating from his body like sweat on a warm day. Snowball giggled, tumbled closer, rubbing himself against his brother's legs.
"Again!"
he sighed. Leap scanned the hillside for their mother. "Mama's on the other side of the hill," he sighed. "We should catch up." Snowball shrunk back into himself, smaller and colder than he'd been during the song.
"Okay,"
he sighed, starting up the slope again. Leap took a moment before he followed. Castle's pine was one of the younger bloodwood trees. According to Godsong, Castle had stolen the seed from Junos, knowing it would grow taller than any bloodwood tree in the kingdom. As punishment, Junos had cursed the tree, making its blood fruit more awkward to eat than any other, the cones filled with tiny pellets of flesh constantly dripping their juices to the forest floor. The forest was huge, but the creatures living there were much more spread out than those of other bloodwoods. There simply wasn't a high enough concentration of bloodmarked trees to provide for a denser population. It was part of the reason the wolves were so suited to be lords of Northwood. There was always an excuse for the hunt. That was until Blueheart brought them under his rule and enforced the law of the Bloodwood. There were still rumours, of course. Some said hunting still went unpunished in Northwood, that Lord Blackthroat herself slaughtered thousands of the forest's low-marked creatures for sport. Leap couldn't imagine that. The wolves he had known in Highwood had been the most loyal creatures he'd ever known. When the Bloodwood had abandoned him and his mother to the usurper Stag, it had been the wolves who had protected them. the wolves who had accompanied them on the scent path to the hidden cave in Northwood. He wondered where those wolves were now. No doubt back in Highwood, serving the new king. A sudden thought shook him. What if, when he returned to Highwood, he had to fight them? He remembered the size of the red ones. They'd been huge, but it was the black wolf that scared him most. It wasn't the biggest of them, not by a long way, but it was the alpha, and something about it terrified him. It felt like it knew every move he might make, every misstep along the path. More than once it had warned him of a rock or hidden hole in the way that he hadn't noticed himself, despite being right on top of it. It saw things he couldn't see. It scared him how much it might know. It felt like it saw every weakness in him clear as daylight. He wouldn't stand a chance against such a beast. He even doubted how much his mother could do against such insight, especially in her present condition. The smell of blood caught his nose. At the top of the hill was a blood-marked stone fir, its trunk stained with a dark red stripe leading up to its lower branches. Only the gods knew why a blood root would make it to the top of a hill like this, but for some reason Castle's pine had chosen to send its tendrils here. Not far above the ground hung a Northwood bloodfruit, a woody mess of dripping flesh like a swollen pine cone, bones sticking out all over the place. Leap's stomach urged him closer. The bloodfruit was very different to the acorns he remembered from Highwood. The acorns were easy to eat, the flesh open and pushing out of the cup, making it easy to strip it from its tiny core. But the bones of the Northwood fruit protruded at all angles, making it difficult to reach the edible parts. Gently, Leap covered the bloodfruit with his lips, trying to suck the flesh from inside. It was rich, and somehow, despite the chill hill air, slightly warm in his mouth. Small pellets of flesh found their way to the back of his mouth, and he swallowed them down, greedily. There was a soft bark for attention beside him. He twisted his head and saw his brother there, watching him from around the trunk. As he turned, he felt the stem of the bloodfruit snap in his mouth and come loose. He slipped back down onto all fours, and his teeth scratched against the bone, catching at his gums painfully. He spat the spiky core to the floor.
"Is that bloodfruit?"
signed Snowball.
"Can I have some?"
"You scared me," signed Leap.
"I always scare you,"
signed the cub.
"I'm very scary. Can I have some?"
Leap looked over the tree. He could smell more bloodfruit higher up in the branches. A drip snagged his attention. A little over twice his height, there was a cluster of three cones close together. He signed for his brother to wait and began to climb the tree. He reached the bloodfruit and pulled them from the branch, dropping them down to his brother below. He clambered back down and dropped to the floor next to him.
"It's strange,"
signed Snowball. He licked at the cones, then used his teeth to break a few of the bone spurs.
"How do you eat it?"
"Lurk," signed Leap. "Like this." He held the cone in his front teeth and sucked. The pits of flesh slurped into his mouth. In truth, he wasn't sure this was the right way to eat such things, so he didn't feel right. "Go on," he signed. The little bear tried to copy him. His lips couldn't fit around the cone.
"It's too big,"
he signed, dropping the fruit to the floor.
"Mama,"
he signed,
"you try."
Leap hadn't noticed the mother bear approaching. She stood behind him, her bulk overshadowing them both. "You took bloodfruit from the tree," she signed.
"I was hungry," he sighed. "I wanted to show Snowborn."
His mother huffed. She was angry.
How could he have upset her? It's just bloodfruit, wasn't it?
"You'll leave your scent on the cores," she sighed, knowing his mind without having to be sent any pictures. "They'll know we were here."
"Sorry, Mama," sighed Snowborn, stepping away from the little pile of half-eaten bloodfruit.
"We'll bury them," sighed Leap. "That's what we're going to do anyway."
"And your claw marks on the tree, what are you going to do about those?"
Leap looked at the tree. Sure enough, there were a few bits of bark scored here and there, but nothing noticeable. Why was she making such a fuss?
"I didn't do much damage," he sighed.
"But there is damage."
"Yes, but
not enough to notice. Not like our scent. That's what they would notice if someone was tracking us. They wouldn't care if we took bloodfruit or not. They'd be sniffing at the trail. They'd know us from the scent path.
Mother Bear thought about this for a heartbeat or two, leaning her weight on her good shoulder.
Mama, you should try some,
sighed Snowborn, bouncing up against her legs. I told you no, she snapped, the punch of her sign words throwing him backwards, tripping him sideways onto the twiggy floor.
The little bear quickly righted himself and retreated behind his brother, suddenly quiet and still. They waited. The mother bear twitched uncomfortably. She'd surprised herself as well. She hadn't meant to startle him.
She lifted her paw as though about to apologise, but paused before the sign words came.
You're right, she sighed instead, looking at Leap. They will smell us if we continue this way. The scent path is too ready to take on new memories. It's dangerous.
She looked out over the green canopy below them, spreading from sunrise to sunset.
We should find our own way to Blackwood, she sighed. We'll make our own path. Through the forest.
You said we shouldn't do that, sighed Leap. If we leave the scent path, we might go somewhere we didn't intend. We might end up in the middle of a wolf den.
The mother bear raised her head and stared at the branches above them.
And what happens if we do that? She sighed.
Leap was unsure what answer was expected of him. He waited for her to give him the answer she thought he should know.
If we meet our enemy, she sighed with a growl, then we will teach them why they should fear us.
She snorted as she sighed. Her shoulders tensed, her pain forgotten for a moment.
Leap didn't understand. What she said didn't make sense. She wanted to leave the scent path, yet she wanted to fight. That didn't match up in his mind. It was careful and careless all at the same time. It felt like they were fleeing one danger to engage another one.
But this was his mother, he reasoned. This was the bear who had kept them alive through the winter. The one who had slaughtered 3 battle boars on her own. Didn't matter if he didn't understand. She'd proven herself, and it was his duty to follow.
Yes, Mama, he sighed. We will show them why they should fear us.
The mother bear rocked her head back, pleased with him. She looked to the trees on the hillside, away from Castle's Pine.
We all take the dark paths, she sighed. We'll make new ways through the forest. With the blessings of the gods on us, we may even reach Blackwood sooner. She hummed, certain with herself that this was the right thing to do.
Leap wasn't sure, but he fought to keep the feeling down.
He made his own hum match hers and turned to his little brother, who tried to do the same.
We make our own paths, the little bear sighed.
Good, sighed his mother.
Then come, my children. Let us make our own paths.
She lumbered down the hill, her limp gone. She was set on the deep forest now, heading to where the pines grew thick and close.
Snowborn tottered after her, looking back at his brother.
Go on, sighed Leap. I'll follow.
The little bear nodded and skittered down to his mother's side. Leap looked out again over the green canopy of the Bloodwood. Castle's Pine was scraping through heavy cloud drifting in from the north, the swirling darkness slipping around its trunk like water around a stone. Already, Leap could see a mist of rain falling from where the tree shook the drops from the sky. More clouds were stacked behind it, floating south, heading to the bears. They'd reach them by nightfall, unless the winds changed, and it would be cold without shelter.
Leap didn't like the idea of sleeping in the rain. But at least the water would wash their scent from the land before it had a chance to settle. If their mother was right and something was tracking them, then this was a good time to leave the path. Their trail would be lost in the rain. But maybe they would be too. Without a scent path to follow, Leap had no idea how they would make it to the border. His mother had been born in Blackwood.
Maybe it called her in the same way Highwood called him. Maybe if she followed that instinct, then they would make it there faster than any half-forgotten scentpath. But he worried about the journey, all the same. There was still so far to go. A moon of travel ahead of them, at least, over a landscape none of them really knew. And then, what when they arrived? He tried to imagine this white fur, but he had nothing to go on except the name and the stink of fear that Greymane had brought with him to their cave. Whoever he was, he had scared the badger enough to convince him to go against all he believed, to betray the same bears he'd fought so hard to save when Highwood had fallen. The scent of rain reached his nose. He turned away from the green sea and the bloodwood tree at its centre and followed his mother down the slope, weaving between the trees to keep up, staying close, staying strong, following her footsteps deeper into the forest. By midday, the rain had reached the hilltop. It slipped through the waxy leaves of the pines, landing in thick drops on the scent path, where it set the tiny broken twigs on the forest floor jumping like fleas. The wolf sniffed at the new smells raised by the rain. The scent trail Right Tooth had been following abruptly stopped at this point and veered off to the south. There was a touch of fear in the smells here. Clearly something had driven the bears from the route they had intended to take, some sudden shift of heart that caused them to change course. There was no clue, no unexpected scent loitering on the landscape to tell him what that might have been. Maybe they caught some hint of a northward patrol on the breeze and decided to play it safe. If they were sensible, they would simply wait near the scent path for the threat to move on before continuing, in which case the wolf had only to go on along the scent path a little further to find where they might have rejoined it. But the rain made things difficult. There was another emotion on the scentscape, something he had encountered back at the cave before the mother bear's rampage. A subtle hint of hunger blight. Madness mixed with desperation. It was faint, but he knew what to look for. There had been something off about Willowback's smell when he met her in the forest, when her cubs had screeched and pissed themselves across the landscape in their panic to escape him. It had amused him to play with them, to know where they were heading and how he could get there before them as they floundered their way through the thicket. He waited for them, wondering how easy they had made it, and his play might have continued longer if the mother bear had not discovered them first. Something hidden in her scent had warned him that this was not a game he should continue to play, at least not openly. At the time, he had not been quite sure whether the subtle scent had been that of early hunger blight or just the natural madness of motherhood, but it was part of the reason he had distanced himself from the cave. Some instinct telling him it was better to observe from a distance than be caught in the action. And he'd been right. The smell of death was pungent, even half a morning away. The mother bear had to be mad to leave that smell infecting the landscape. By the third day, it was inescapable. It wouldn't be long until the northward wolves found their little hideaway, brought their exile to an end, probably dragging them back down to Highwood to face a Threehorn's pathetic version of justice directly. That might have saved Right Tooth some effort, but the dumb stag would probably have forgiven them rather than kill them, allowing them to get away with a few moons in the Highwood pit before letting them out again into the wild. It was a weakness like that that was ruining the kingdom, draining it of its strength. If it didn't stop soon, then they would all end up like the lower creatures, prey to whatever wandered into their path. And Right Tooth would never be prey. He crunched the bones of the rat, swallowing the last of the marrow and spitting their remains onto the little pile of blood fruit at the base of the stone fir. He looked over the green canopy of the bloodwood and then back down the hill where the scent trail wandered into the deep wood. be easier to carry on down the scent path. It led in the direction they were meant to be going, back to Blackwood. And it was largely clear of the dangers and uneven ground that existed off the path, but the hint of madness in that mother bear's scent gave him second thoughts. What if she knew he was tracking them? What if she didn't plan to rejoin the ancient scent path, knowing the soil there was so eager to mark their progress as it had done so with the progress of every other traveller along its route for generations? If she was planning on forging her own way through the forest, he would need to follow them now. If he carried on down the scent path, then by the time he was convinced they'd not rejoined it, the rain would have washed the land clear of their scent and he would have lost his prize. His mission had failed the White Fur once. He would not fail him a second time. The wolf dug a shallow pit beside the stone fir and nudged the fallen blood fruit into it. It was strange the bears had not buried the empty cones when they'd finished with them. Such basic courtesy, he thought. No wonder the gods had turned against them. The wolf smoothed down the earth over the cores. The rain was falling properly now. The scent of bears wouldn't last long. He took another look back at the bloodwood canopy, at Carcel's pine that stood over it. It was the bloodwood of his father, the bloodwood that had exiled him to the frozen forest after he refused to take the stag's mark. It would probably be the last time he saw that pine, alive at any rate, he huffed. In a different world, he might have been on the same side as his quarry, helping them rather than hunting them. But they were part of the old order. They were just the same as the stag. They belonged to a time when strength was something to be ashamed of, when creatures like him were the outcast ones because they did not follow the laws that made the weak strong and the strong weak. But a new world was coming. Everything that drained the bloodwoods of their strength would be purged like canker from the wood, and everything that remained would grow straight and true, as the gods intended. He set off down the hill and slipped inside the darkening forest, where the scent of bear hung strongest. And the first step in healing the world from its weakness, he thought to himself, is to cut away the rot. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. And this is the end of part one. I hope you've enjoyed this introduction to the world and the characters who've populated my thoughts for the last year. But it's not the end of the story. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the ongoing project. I hope to see you there soon. Until then, dear listener, may the gods always hear your song.